I take a little bit of offense to our small group, Brother Steve. We've doubled in size. We're up to 20. We started with 10.
So, that's good.
Right? Facebook is how Steve and I found Steve when I first came to Wright Division. I first came to Wright Division through a man by the name of Les Feldick. I know most of you have heard that name. Teaching in Galatians one day when I was homesick, I started following him as he was teaching, and I found a man that was actually teaching what the Bible said instead of making up things that the Bible said. And that put me on my track to follow Les Feldick a little bit to see what else was going to come out of that. And then, sometime after that, I found Brother Steve. You did look different, brother. And I found Brother Steve, started tracking him and listening to his messages, and I think I listened to every message he's ever put on his webpage and so forth. And through that, there's not a preacher in here I haven't heard through video, and I found Brother Sam Gerhart, and we're looking forward to having him out in North Carolina in November. So I think Facebook is a great thing, as he said last night, alluded to that. It's kind of like the Andy Griffith Show when the guy from out of town was taking their paper every day, and they didn't know it. Now, if you don't know Andy, there's a good old-fashioned altar down here. You can get that thing right before you leave today, right? But he came to town, and he knew them all by name, what they did, and everything else. It's kind of like Facebook, isn't it? I met Sam Gerhart for the first time face-to-face, but numerous messenger, text messages, all that stuff. So I feel like I really know Sam Gerhart. So it's a unique thing, Facebook is. But I'm thankful to be out here, and I think we should acknowledge Brother Steve, his wife Mary, and the entire congregation here at Grace Bible Church for what they have done and putting on this conference this weekend. So, what I have today, it's a pretty simple message, but I think it's kind of on time, if you will. I want to talk about corrupting of the mind. The corrupting of the mind, it's something that, you know, when I was growing up, I grew up in a holiness home. You know, by second grade, I was picking up serpents, walking on water, healing the sick, and raising the dead. And in third grade, they named gave me a nickname of Benny. And then by the fourth grade, I got the last name Hen and all that. It took me to 2002 to get over that. But I grew up in a holiness home, and, you know, we think about the corrupting of the mind as what happens out in the secular world. That's corrupted flesh. That's going to do a certain thing regardless, right? But when we come to religion, anybody ever, do you know who Rod Parsley is? Yeah. Rod Parsley? Every time I see that guy, the hair stands up on my head. Straight up. And this man is attacking dispensational Bible teachers. I shot him a message. He'll never read it, but I shot him a message. I said, you wouldn't know good dispensational Bible teachers if it bit you on the backside. You wouldn't know it. Here's this guy slamming us because we don't preach tithing, and he calls it hyper grace. Have you seen what those people do in that assembly in Columbus? I go carp fishing occasionally. When you pull a good carp up on the bank, he'll flop, flop, flop. They do that in the floor up there. Flop, like a carp out of water. And this guy's got the nerve to come against us, right? Because we don't preach tithing. Well, I know why he needs to preach tithing. I've seen the size of the building, right? But every time I see that guy, he doesn't have to speak. You know, my hair just goes straight up. Straight up. I don't need hairspray or anything to make that happen. I'm going to write some verses on the board right here, and then we're going to go to our text. I was almost going to go without a text, but I felt like that wouldn't be right. So we're just going to look at some verses here. We're going to look at Acts. Eventually, we're going to look at these. We're going to look at Acts 8 and 37. You know, Brother Sam and Brother Brian, by the way, the singing was great last night. This morning, Brother Robbie, great job. That Hank Jr. song, I like that. That was good stuff, brother. I didn't know you had that in you, Robbie. Next time you come to a conference, we'll have you to sing and not preach. I put a little code out there by those as we go. So just bear with me. I'll get this done. Usually, I've done this before, so usually about 30 minutes.
They're popular verses, by the way, that you will hear when someone's teaching the Bible according to right division, right? Did right division ever help anybody other than myself?
Absolutely.
It's amazing, isn't it? It's the thing that kind of makes the old book a new book to you, right?
Amen.
We may just put one more and stop at that. But we'll just put a little code out there and look at that. Turn, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, Sam says chemo brain. He says COVID brain. I blame mine on marriage. My wife don't travel with me on these trips. You cannot go to the grocery store with her without her saying, "How far? How long?" We live a mile from a food line. And that may be an exaggeration, but outside of that, it's not an exaggeration. We went to the beach just 2 weeks ago from our house to Myrtle Beach. It was about 3 hours and 45 minutes. We were not an hour into the drive. How much longer we got? We just started. So she don't make these trips with me. And so unless I were to fly, and I'm not doing that right now. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Brother Sam, he was on these verses last night. By the way, I had a breakfast burrito, brother. And it didn't come out of the dumpster. They should have been in the dumpster, but 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Would to God you would bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin in Christ, to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Let us pray. Father, we're so grateful for this day, this opportunity, this conference, for Brother Steve, his congregation, for all these great Bible teachers and preachers that are out here this weekend. And I pray now, Lord, that you just let me diminish and get out of the way and let your word do what only your word can do. And that is to prick hearts and edify this body that you have here today. And if there be one lost that's never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, may they understand that he did die for their sins, was buried, rose again the third day for their justification. And if they would just simply believe that gospel and trust him as Savior, they could be saved. And we'll give you all the praise, honor, glory, and everyone did say, amen. So we talk about the corrupting of the mind. And I think about, I was talking to Brother Robbie, he was in the school system for years. And I think about the school system, and I think about the course of this world. It starts early with us in life that our minds get corrupted, right? From a child, and then we become part of the everyday world. Preschool, grade school, and we're taking in the course of this world. You know what a course is, right? A course is something that becomes a study. And from this world, what happens in the course of the world, it gets inside of us. And I can remember in school, my science teacher standing before our class and saying, "I have to teach a curriculum. I don't want to. I don't believe it. It's theory. But I must, according to North Carolina, have a semester in which I teach on evolution." And so we went on through that semester. He made it clear he didn't believe it. Back then, you didn't pick up a phone and text mom or dad that I'm oversensitive because he's, you know, you didn't have that stuff, right? And so we talked about tadpoles and frogs and monkeys and all that stuff and people who teach it. And so the agreement was, if you come to this class, you don't miss a day, and you participate, you're going to pass. And your grade will only vary based on how much information you get. So everybody had to give what they had learned in the class without looking at it as being fact but theory. So it came my turn, he said, "What have you learned?" I said, "Once I was a tadpole, long and thin. Then I was a bullfrog with my tail tucked in. Then I was a monkey hanging from a tree. Now I can become a professor with a PhD. I passed that course." The corrupting of the mind, right? Now about 75% of that story is true. You can pick out what you think might be true. Most of it is, right? But I use that analogy to think about who we are in life And then when you feel like you have made the right decision on Christ, and you get into what we call religion, how your mind gets corrupted by that system that's out there, right? It took me years. But the good thing was, I did have the Spirit of God in me. And I knew what I was reading was not being conveyed properly. And I would always question. I'd always get in trouble. I'd get in trouble in Sunday school classes. I'd get in trouble with the pastor, the teacher, whoever. You know, I had a Sunday school teacher tell me one morning, "You know a man of God by the following that he's got. You look at Brother Copeland. He's got this big crowd following." And I raised my hand. He goes, "Yes, sir. What you got?" And I said, "How do you explain Noah?" And after, he was in the hallway waiting on me when I come out. He said, "Son, I need you to work with me in there." I said, "When you get the truth, I will, man." And I knew nothing about right division, but I just knew Noah didn't have a big following, right? Other than a bunch of animals. So, in this corruption, how is it that the devil works about corrupting our minds? Most people think he has a new trick. He's got the same trick that he's had all along. We have to be wise to the wiles of the devil, the tricks of the devil. Every time I see the word wiles there, I think about Willie Coyote. Anybody old enough to remember that cartoon? Always setting the trap for the Roadrunner, wasn't he? Go back to Genesis real quick. Genesis, when you get there, go to Genesis chapter 2. And let's look at this in respect of what the Bible really teaches about our chief enemy, the devil himself, the principalities, the powers in high places. It's important for us to understand these things because Brother Robbie said it. Even though you're saved, you're still suspect. And then once you become enlightened to the Word of God according to right division, you become a target. Right? Now, when I first got right division and I started seeing this thing and I really had it to where I could share it, I'm like, "Oh boy, I'm going to take this to my family and my friends and we're going to have an explosion." Oh, we did. Yeah. The first person I took it to was a good friend of mine, a Baptist pastor. Now, underline the word "was a good friend of mine," Baptist pastor, because he's no longer. Right? I shot him a string of verses that you could put together from the third grade, man. You could put them together. You know, all the ones that we use, right? He sent me back his resume. "I've been pastor of the same church 25 years. I've preached here. I've done this. Don't tell me there's more than one gospel in that Bible. Can't you see it, sir?" And he never has talked to me again. All right? So what we think is going to be the tool that breaks the ice for everybody ends up being the tool that gets us thrown out of places. Right? That's how you start up an assembly in Tobaccoville, North Carolina with 8 people. You're not welcome anywhere else. But I wouldn't take anything for our fellowship, man. I love it. Look here in 2:16 of Genesis. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." Remember that statement. Freely eat. "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it." Remember that statement. Shall not eat of it. "For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely do what?" Right. That's what he said, wasn't it? That's God's word. And I'm not going to pick on women in here, right? I don't want to get that started. Love you all. God bless you. But God does something with Adam. He puts him to sleep, right? And he takes a rib out of his side, makes him a woman. I think I interpret that as if you're going to get married, be asleep. But no, I don't interpret that way. But the bottom line is, the woman comes along and she has an encounter, right? Look down at chapter 3. And let's watch this real quick. Let's just watch how the devil works. The Bible talked about the corrupting of the mind, the beguiling of Eve. Let's just read here. Let's see what tools he uses. Let's see if he uses a honky-tonk. Right? Let's see if he uses drugs. Let's watch what he's doing. Right? Let's see how he works.
Now the serpent was more subtle. That word, subtlety, is used back in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, right? More subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, have God said, what's the first thing we're doing? Let's question the word of God. See that? Let's question the word of God. Since you've been doing this, have you had anybody to question the word of God? I've had people that have been in church for 40 years. I show them something about right division. They go running back to 2 Kings trying to make God a liar in 2 Kings to what he said in Ephesians. Anybody ever watch the show Ask the Pastor? Anybody ever seen that? That'd be a great place for a Bible study, wouldn't it? There were people on there last night, midnight, I'm watching that thing. Why do I do that? So I can have something to talk about, right? They're on there asking some of the dumbest questions in the world, and these guys are actually answering them. Just as dumb as they were asked. Why did God let COVID happen? Really? And they're answering it as hard as they can go. And it's like, if they only knew something about right division, they'd move right on past that, right? And it's the corrupting of the mind. That's what religion and the system out there does. Can I tell you, I agree, brother, the King James Bible is the Word of God. I believe that. It's not a version to me, it is the Word of God to me. Alright? So, when we come to that knowledge that this is the authority, now our job is to study it the way God said, study it. Right? And what that does, that answers all of these crazy questions out there. Why did Brother Sam end up with that and not Donnie? Or why did Steve get COVID? And so forth and so on. All these things kind of, they get answered by the Word of God. You understand something about it. But until your mind is corrupted, and once your mind is corrupted, can I tell you, sometimes it can be a long track back home, right? So what happens? Questions the Word of God. Hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now watch this. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. There was a word left out. This is the word that gets left out of salvation and justification. My Pentecostal buddies used to leave that word out right there. You saved by grace through faith, but you never know what it's going to cost you. Right? You come down on an altar and commit your life to Christ and go out and work your brains out and hopefully you're going to make it. That's not what the Bible teaches. See the word freely. She left that word out there, right? Go a little further. But of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden. Now think about that tree, where it's at. It's in the midst of the garden. If we were to take all these seats and we'd make a box out of them and we put anything in the middle of that floor, what's it going to get? It's going to get attention, isn't it? That tree was in the midst of the garden. That tree was going to get attention. And the enemy knew it. Watch what he says. You shall not eat of it, neither, this is what Eve is saying, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. What did she do there? She added to the Word of God. There's nothing about touching the tree in the Word of God. It said, don't eat of it. Right? I'm guessing they could have went up and caressed it and rubbed their faces on it. Whatever. Just don't eat of it. Right? So she uses that word there, touch. Do you see already where corruption is creeping in? We're questioning the Word of God. We're taking away from the Word of God. And we're adding to the Word of God. That's trouble. That's trouble. Most of the questions that were answered last night when I was watching that show, they were getting answered out of man's philosophy and not by the Scriptures. And definitely not by the Scriptures right to the body. Nobody in that room, if they were saved, knew who they were. They didn't have the identity that was shared here last night. Right? Go a little further. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Is that a lie or not? That's a lie, isn't it? Well, let me tell you what happens. We might not like this because we all do it. But if you add to a story, if you take away from a story, essentially you're lying, aren't you? Right? We don't look at it that way. It's not that harsh to us. You know, Billy had a car wreck. It was a fender damaged on the right side. By the time it gets back to his wife, Billy had a car wreck, was thrown out the right side of the car, and the car flipped over, and it was on fire, and somebody had to save him. Only to know that none of that was true, right? So something got added to the story. And this is what happens with the Word of Truth. When we add to the Word of Truth, when we don't take words that God has put in the Word of God seriously, and then we add words out of ourselves to the Word of God, and so forth, so we end up building a lie. Can I tell you that religion is built on the lie program? How many's been there? Am I the only guy? I mean, it's built on the lie program. So when you show the truth to someone, what you have to understand is their minds have already been corrupted. Now do you know why the Apostle Paul focuses so much on the renewing of the mind? Can I tell you it's like a computer? Garbage in is garbage out. Amen? So you're either taking in light or you're taking in darkness. Whatever you take in, that seated man inside of you, that bowl, that heart, that deep-seated emotion, that's what's going to happen, all right? So you're going to take in darkness, corrupted mind, leads to a corrupted and a darkened soul, which puts you into motion to do dark work. The light of the glorious gospel, these men have preached about it, you take that in, you take in sound doctrine, that illuminates the soul, that puts you into motion, not you doing it, but the Spirit doing it because it's working effectually in you because you believe it. Right? So what do most people have a problem doing is getting rid of all the corruption, all the things that they've been taught. Right? I'm going to give Brother Steve something, and before I get home, I'll have it back. Amen? That's what they teach. Let me ask you something. If I'm a pastor of a church, and I believe that giving is the way I get it, why ain't I doing the giving? You know, the old seed method, plant a seed, and God's going to give you threefold, fivefold, tenfold. Well, I would just be planting seed all the time if that's the case, right? But the issue is that comes from corrupt knowledge. Can it be found in the Bible? Absolutely. Tithing's in the Bible. Parsley says those old dispensationals are telling you that tithing's part of the law. He said, I can show you where it was before the law. Well, Rod, I can show you where circumcision was before the law. I can show you where animal sacrifice was before the law. When did you quit doing that in Ohio? So you only want what you can do, right? So what does man do with God's law? With a corrupt mind, he dummies down the law to become an achiever. Right? I say to our crowd often, the law is like Mount St. Everest. You would have to start out every morning from the very bottom to begin your climb, and you'll never get there and get it done. Thank God for Jesus Christ and His shed blood. His death, His burial, His resurrection. Amen, because I am not under the law. So look at this corruption with me here. If you would, turn to the book of Acts in chapter 37. Acts 8:37. Rodney up in New England might have Acts 37, but we don't. We stop at 28. I'm sorry about that. That was mean, brother. Strike that from the record. Can you edit that? Look at Acts 8 and 37. Alongside these scriptures that we have here, most of these are very familiar. And that, you know, the marquee verse that we use for right division, the marquee verse we use for the dispensation of grace of God, and we look at this here in Paul's gospel. But look at Acts 8 and 37. You see the code out there, oh? So Acts 8 and 37. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Is that what your King James Bible says? New versions leave out the entire verse. It's omitted. O is for omit. I won't give you the name of the Bible, but the acronym is NIV. It's omitted. It's taken completely out. And some say it does have a footnote. I don't know because I don't own one. Right? Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Is that tampering with the Word of God?
Now, if you don't believe the King James Bible, the last pastor I had and sat under, he said to him the King James Bible was just a preference. As I said, he used to be my pastor. I will not fight you over something like that. I'll just make my declaration that I believe the King James Bible is the Word of God, and we either agree or we disagree. I'm not going to go spend the rest of my life trying to prove it out of a history book. I believe it's the Word of God. I've compared it to the other books. All right? Look here in chapter 1, verse 18 of 1 Corinthians. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. Let me read it to you out of the other version. For the message of the cross is foolish to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved is the power of God. That's what it says. Did that add something to the Word of God? Oh, now we know how the devil works. If I'm Satan, listen to this closely, and I want to be worshipped, and I don't want you to know the true God of heaven and His truth, do you think I might just strike up and write a book somewhere? Do you think I might be clever enough to put Holy Bible on the spine? Yeah. Oh, I think he's that slick. I think he's that sly. And there's men out here who are clinging to that book, and they're preaching that book, and we want to know why they don't see the same thing we see. They don't have the Word to start with. If you're going to have mashed potatoes, you've got to start with potatoes. If you're going to rightly divide the Word of truth, you've got to have the Word of truth. Amen? That's where it starts and where it finishes. Look over to Ephesians in chapter 3. Has anybody ever heard this for an excuse for taking that version or any of those other versions? It's so much easier to read. My foot. I've read some of that stuff to where King James got it done in 10 words and they have to use 35 words. And they say, well, it's not the words that matter, it's the concept. Ask Eve. Amen? Ask Adam. Ask me. You know? 3:1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you. So listen to this. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace. Changed it up, didn't they? Well, all of them are the same. No, they're not. No, they're not. They're not the same. Go over and look at 2 Timothy with me. You know, I love what Brother Sam said last night about it's not the messenger, it's the message. Amen, brother. Because I don't want to stand up here. If you never remember me, never remember my name, that's okay. Right? You're going to have to put up with me for all eternity if you get to heaven. But it's okay if you don't remember me. But what I want you to remember is these verses. I want you to see how the enemy works, how he corrupts minds. Look at 2 Timothy and 2, like I said, one of our marquee verses. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Ready? Do your best to present yourself approved to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of God. Nothing about study, nothing about rightly dividing. See how the enemy works? See how the minds of these people in these assemblies who go in there and just they sing and they do their due diligence to show up on Sunday and they leave. Unfortunately, many of them may be lost. Many of them may be lost. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let me also state this. I would not do this to hurt somebody's feelings that may not know this. Okay? Let me state that. All right, so that I just would want to tear somebody apart who has that Bible. What I would love for it to be is something that would open their eyes of understanding that they don't truly have what is the Word of God preserved. Right? So let that be clear. All right, so in 2 Timothy chapter 1,
and go to verse 11. And I may have a misprint here, and that wouldn't surprise me with the married brain. First, 2 Timothy. Well, it would be better if I'd got out of 1 Timothy. Thank you very much. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. This is Paul speaking. Whereto I'm appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. You ready for this one? And of this gospel I was appointed a herald, an apostle, and a teacher. No Gentiles. See that? Go to Colossians. I think of Paul and he says, have I become your enemy that I tell you the truth, you know? Don't want to be an enemy, but guarantee you I've had a lot of rocks thrown at me over the last little while. Chapter 1 of Colossians. And look at verse 14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Here's the way it reads. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. See, the word blood got left out. Now let me ask you a question. If this version is made so easy, easier to understand than 7th grade English in the King James Bible, what's so stinking hard about the word blood? Work with me a little bit. Just smile. I'm nervous. Y'all smile. Right? I'm asking a question. What's so hard about the word blood? When it says, I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me, what's so hard about the word Christ that we have to switch it to Him? That could have been this brother here in the parking lot yesterday. That would give him me strength. Somebody give me $25,000. I'd have been doing a Snoopy dance all up and down that road out there, brother. I'll guarantee you right now. That would have been strengthening, wouldn't it? To Him that gives me strength? No, to Christ. See, they change these words and they want you to fall on that sword of just saying they're all the same. No, it's what corrupts minds. It's what corrupts minds. This King James Bible is the preserved Word of God. And I'm telling you that. I believe that. I stand on that. I will not compromise that. I will die on that hill.
Amen?
Amen? Now, they've laughed at me. They've called me names because of it. Where did you know King James was a homosexual? Why don't you get a Slurpee and sit in the corner somewhere? Help me, folks. This whole thing about what we have in our hands, who cannot understand what it is that these men have taught? Brother Brian, Brother Sam, Brother Robbie. There's not a person in here, I don't believe, that's over your understanding the way these men have presented the Word of God this weekend. So do I need to run off to a toy store and get a book, right? And come out and call it the Word of God and have no clue what the Bible really teaches?
Yeah.
No, thank you. I don't. So I say that in respect of the Word of God and not to lift myself up, but for you to understand that the enemy is doing the same thing today that he was doing back in the garden with Eve. Go over to John. And we're coming down the home stretch. At home, my crowd will tell you that means nothing, but I'll be respectful here. In John in chapter 3. Maybe you know this verse by heart. Chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only what? Begotten Son. Anybody know when He begat Him? Right? When He raised Him up, right? Is that correct? All right. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That book says, for God gave His one and only Son. Not the begotten,
but the one and only Son. Is Christ the one and only Son of God? Or did God have another son? He revealed it, didn't he? He said that Israel was his firstborn son, right? But the only begotten, full of grace and truth, is Jesus Christ. The people believe that we have such a hard time reading that that translation can't put the word begotten in it. I disagree. I don't struggle with reading that bad. I'm not sharp, but I don't struggle that bad that I can't understand the word begotten. I don't struggle so bad with reading and comprehension that I can't put the word Christ in a verse and understand whom we're talking about. I don't struggle with reading so bad that I can't put the word blood into a scripture and understand the importance of the blood that was shed on Calvary. I don't struggle so bad that I can't study a little bit and find out what the word dispensation really means and have to change it or leave it out altogether. I don't have to be one of those who corrupts the Word of God. Okay? I can just have a 20-man assembly and rock on down the road with the Word of God. Let them have their crowns now and let them have their joy now. And I'll wait on mine, as Brother Robbie said, when this old body gives way, and I go up into the air to meet him in the air, the rapture. Is that under attack or not? Huh? What are they telling you now? Not going to be a rapture. That's just something you put in your head. Well, I'm going to tell you, and I say this often, the word rapture is not found in the Scripture. I'll give you that. But I can tell you one word it is. Gone. I'm going to be gone one day. Right? And God didn't build me 6'7". He built me 5'7". So He got to get me over that fear of heights. But I'm going up. And you said something, brother. If a man looked the same as he did 20 years ago, you'd love to talk to him. I can show you a 5th grade picture where I was bald and 5'7". Hey, man. You owe me one. My whole profile timeline, I've been 5'7" and bald, brother. The only thing I've done is put on 52 pounds and added the glasses, right? Let us pray. We'll dismiss this part of the service for me, right? Father, we're so grateful, so thankful for the Word of God, right divine. Hopefully, Lord, simplicity, just to show what the enemy does, how he works on the mind, what he wants. The target is our mind, to corrupt us, to get us out of the truth. He cares not that we have a Bible. He cares not that we assemble. He cares not that we pray. He cares not that we carry on with activity. He just wants to keep us blind. He wants to corrupt our minds. Let everyone that's heard this message today, Lord, give that thought and go and chase these passages and look at them for themselves and study, that their minds may be renewed in the Spirit of God and the Spirit of your truth. For all that comes out of this weekend, we're going to give you the praise, honor, and glory. Everyone said, amen. Thank you, Brother Steve.